next presentation comes from Gemma Vernoy, and well, it's on more detailed status update on Samba 4. So continuing at this point would be just here. Gemma is a CS student and part-time developer, and originally was working on Samba 3 topics, and now is doing crazy RPC things in Samba 4. So probably some real details on the things we are going to see there. So please welcome Gemma.
Okay, so I will first be talking a bit about what we've done in the past year on Samba 4. And then Andrew Bartlett will go into a bit more detail on the issues we've faced. For those of you who don't know what Samba 4 is, Samba 4 was actually started a couple of years ago by Andrew Tridgell, and was a spin-off from a project that he was doing for IBM. Samba 4 is an effort to re-engineer parts of Samba, mainly because Samba was originally built as a file system server, and we now need to do a bit more than that. We're working towards Active Directory mainly, and we're sort of doing the same thing that we were early on doing with NT4 integration in back in Samba 2.2 when we first made the main logons possible. And so now we're working towards Active Directory. Active Directory is a whole bunch of things, a whole bunch of protocols and features. And we're currently working on some Kerberos logins. And we're trying to build the infrastructure to make Active Directory implementation possible and to discover which things we need in order to make Active Directory possible.
So just to give a bit more of a background behind this move towards Active Directory, the some work was done by some students at IBM actually a few years ago, where they tried to make Samba 4 do the Active Directory thing. I mean, it's just a bit of LDAP and Kerberos, right? And it basically came back as, no, without a new infrastructure, this can't be done. And so Samba 4 has started as providing infrastructure to allow other things to happen. And we have a worry on the team that with NT4 on the way out and Samba 4 and Samba 3 providing only NT4 interfaces, that we will be stuck on the way out and Microsoft will decide to very nicely leave us on the scrap heap. So Samba 4 has provided an infrastructure where we can start going to these places.
We currently have a very simple domain logon working. It doesn't do all the required things yet. There are still some issues we need to solve there, even for a very simple AD server.
But though we have a simple process going, there's been a lot of bits that have gone into it. In particular, one of the things that's been most infamous about Microsoft's use of Active Directory has been the pack. The list of users and groups, quite similar to what happens when you log on using the older NT4 technologies, this was embedded into Kerberos in a way that was not fully specified in any public document. So some of the work that has occurred over the last year, as we'll discuss a bit later, is handling this pack correctly. This brings Samba 4 into being not just doing like the old Samba 3 did and users log in and they have NTLM credentials, they also finally have Kerberos and we can actually use Kerberos in a network that involves Samba, which is something we've not been able to do in the past. But that said, we don't have even any trust relationships, we don't have even simple matters of adjusting groups and things is painful in Samba 4 because it's infrastructure, not finished product.
So we've done quite a lot in the past year. Most of the changes haven't been actually user visible because they don't get new features that users actually see. We've put a lot of work into the new support, which is JavaScript based. So what is our web interface? And the idea is to make it more user friendly than it currently is, because currently it's just a front end for SMB.com for setting parameters. So we've worked on Vampire, on getting Vampire and Samba 4 to work to get over the users from a Windows DC and put them into the Samba database.
The Vampire technologies here is basically the same as you see in Samba 3. We have not yet managed to get the Active Directory synchronization. It just happens that the older NT4-like technology is good enough for some of the early migration that we're looking at this stage.
So some of the other work has gone into the programming APIs and the infrastructure. There's been a lot of work on the build system and on getting shared libraries integrated. So parts of Samba can now actually be used by other projects such as KDE and GNOME in a more easy way than was possible with Samba 3. The OpenShade project is, there's a talk on OpenShade tomorrow, is actually using some of those libraries. And there's been a initial work on the NTVFS POSIX backend, so that's actual POSIX support for Samba running on a POSIX system and serving files again. And recently, Trish has worked on file notification support, which apparently is working already.
The file notification is the little detail that when you have an Explorer pane up, or indeed on your GNOME desktop when you have a Nautilus pane up, and you add or delete a file somewhere else, then it adds and deletes in that window. And it's, again, one of these bits of infrastructure that needs to be created. We've also just been spending a lot of time fixing things as we go through and find that we just haven't got it all done yet.
So this is some of the new infrastructure that we've worked on. Piddle is our code generator, which is used for most of the DC RPC functionality. We now generate most of our DC RPC dissectors, which are all manually written in Samba 3. Last year, we were at the start of this, now the code generator is pretty much done, but all the IDL files need to be finished. There's also been a lot of work on LDB. Simo has worked a lot on that. The LDB is our embedded LDAP server. He's made the interface asynchronous.
LDB powers a lot of Samba's underlying database, and it's provided in Samba a single place we can put things, and a single programming API that in Samba 3 we tended to create one API per database that we were accessing, and it became hard to generalize and hard to work with. In Samba 4, LDB has made some of that work a lot easier, and has also provided a single place for our user manipulations. So we've been able to actually stuff into LDB things like, if you set a password through one of about 16 different interfaces that can set a password, one part of Samba in LDB will handle the details about how to record that you changed it down to set the last set time. So LDB has become quite an important part of the Samba 4 way of working. Some other things that have been particularly critical in the way Samba behaves is the event subsystem and the asynchronous model that has then allowed us to work with, so that we can have, as Tridge demonstrated so well last year, playing music on his laptop while having a domain join and a file stress test and everything else all interacting into a single binary. It's a matter of infrastructure that Samba 4 is able to get where it is.
So I've already mentioned the shared library stuff earlier. It's also being used by Kai Blin, who's also here, who is integrating GenSec, one of our libraries, into Wine. We did our first technology preview release at linux.conf.au at the beginning of this year. The technology previews aren't supposed to be real usable releases, but are just out there to show other developers where we're at and which infrastructure we have, and to attract more interest in Samba 4.
They also serve to be a build that we, we know works on a number of platforms, and that we can sort of lock down a bit, because while we try to have Samba building all the time, we don't want to discourage people by saying you must grab from SVN, and it might work or it may have been broken that minute.
So we did the second technology preview 1.5 months ago, and we'll hopefully be doing the next one during this conference. It'll be a while before we do the first alpha, which would actually be usable in production for some features, but we'll be doing regular technology previews, hopefully once every month until then. We've also worked and started on working on some other things. There's initial documentation for Samba 4 now. There's some land pages, there's a how-to, at least something that should get you started. If you want to try it out and send bug reports. Tim Potter has worked on support for Python, so you can script Samba 4 and Samba 4's libraries, which can be useful for simple tasks. We've also started on a number of other random things that need to be implemented in order to get Samba 4 in the same state as Samba 3 again.
We have a large number of areas across the whole project, and more than we can really list in the works in progress here. Bits of work get done time and time. Yes. We did have some spot for that. one of the other works in progress that Simo is so ardently pointing at down here has been the wind support that Stefan Metz has been working on. Fairly quietly off in his corner, but very, as you recall from our keynote presentation, paid for by the local industry consortium in Germany. This work in progress has allowed the winds replication, which has eluded Samba for so many years. And that continues to be developed, and bug fixes continue in that. Let's move on.
So it looks like Samba 4 has been a research project for a couple of years now, and it'll be for at least a few more before we actually get to something. But Samba 4 has actually already produced a lot of useful things. Some of the useful features and experiments that we did in Samba 4 and succeeded, we pulled back to Samba 3. So, for example, TDB with transaction support. Some of the auto-generated code is now in Samba 3, and we hope to continue working on that. LDB might be pulled back eventually.
And some of the areas around authentication where we really only want to try and solve these puzzles once. And so where that code is self-contained enough, we're trying to bring it back and have a common code base between the two, because it's too easy to lose fixes and things that only occur in very specific environments.
So the test suite that we developed as part of Samba 4 is very large and covers large parts of the protocols that we know about. And we can also use these test suites against Samba 3, and that's one of the other things that Samba 4 has produced that is very useful. And we'll certainly be continuing work on pulling back the useful things that Samba 4 has produced to Samba 3, even before Samba 4 itself is released. We're still a bit away from an alpha, and the first alphas won't have the full functionality, but only a very small part of what we intend to have at the end. Samba 4 currently has a few areas where it does better than Samba 3, but there are also a lot of areas where it does worse, which are mostly not implemented.
We thought we would set down a set of goals for what would be in an alpha, so that when we get there, we know we're there. We want to have something our users can implement in some kind of a reasonable environment, and we'll go on the next slide a bit about what I would think the ideal first place for Samba 4 would be. But we'll try to list up what things would be the criteria. And when we do an alpha, you can expect that we will have the basic domain logon and domain join stuff that I'm hoping I'll have a chance to demonstrate at the end of this talk. We hope that we might get group policy in there, but we'll certainly at least have the platform to be able to do it shortly, sometime thereafter. Everyone tells us it's easy. We'll find out when we actually do it. But one of the other requirements will be support for MMC, at least in the basic editing users groups and machines. That will need to be in the release because we don't have particularly good user management tools, and so we should at least support the ones that are on the Microsoft platform because they're going to be required anyway.
Some of the architecture for adding users and listing users, storing users, is actually there in Samba 4, but there are no easy ways of adding and editing users yet. So we will need to either add support for that to SWAT or command line tools to easily edit and add users, or we'll have to support MMC in order to do so, or more than one of those.
Yeah, asking our admins that the first thing they should do is dive into editing raw LDIF is not something we particularly want to be doing. Another key point is we will have, before we release an alpha, we're going to at least be able to have our own dog food eat our own dog food. We want Samba 3 to be able to join and use Samba 4. I think that we, because Samba 3, we know exactly what it's going to do, the least we can have is a server that will support the same. It may also mean some small changes in Samba 3 to be more accommodating, but we do want the two to go together. I'm also rather keen on getting Mac clients to behave. They've got similar, fairly narrow sets of requirements. So those are the kind of things that people should expect in the first alpha when it happens. What we can't do is tell you when that will be, because we don't. It's hard to predict. I was thinking through who or what would I like to see. I was trying to work on deploying Samba 4 somewhere, and I was hoping that maybe someone in the audience might see this in them and their site. We're looking for people who are experienced sysadmins, who have worked with technologies that have perhaps been a little raw in the past, and that can help us work through the difference between what occurs in the lab on my laptop and what occurs when someone actually wants to use our software. Samba, Kerberos and LDAP experience, I realise I'm cutting people down pretty fast in terms of people with that experience. But those kind of people with that experience can then bring a lot to our project as a testing resource. Because so many of these issues, we can debug them, but we need help. We're looking for sites that are not yet running AD and are looking for some small parts of what Active Directory would provide them, particularly things like Kerberos is, you know, my particular bugbear, maybe group policy and things, but aren't looking for the full lot. In particular, don't want to say, oh, you've got Samba 4, it's AD, therefore I'd love to run Exchange. So small networks, Samba 4 doesn't have any replication at the moment, so things could be served by a single DC or when we move on to having some replication support, but and then, you know, that's the kind of initial site I would hope would be, you know, maybe a 50 PCs or something in a company. Certainly no more than that. And maybe an environment that's multi-platform already that is therefore requiring some of the interesting things that Samba 4 can provide. So if you're a sysadmin and you're in this kind of environment, you may wish to keep in contact with us because it would be very worthwhile for both of us to be able to work together and address those problems earlier rather than later as we get along to more formal releases and find that it just doesn't cut it. I'd like to be able to address those kind of things with administrators earlier. Samba 4 has, as we sort of mentioned before, has taken an emphasis on testing and on quality. We've worked to auto-generate code. We've worked to write tests. And so this work is something that's continued throughout the development process. We've also been working, like the rest of the Samba project, on the build farm and with doing automated testing with code coverage tools like the IBM Checker. This is a tool that has been found inside IBM that does static analysis in a similar way to Coverity has done so famously for Samba 3 and for the Linux kernel. and that we also continuously run Samba under Valgrind. So while it's sometimes a bit slow to run during our regular test process, we have a build farm machine which runs and presents the output, and will do so in the background. I don't have to waste my CPU cycles on it. So these are things we're trying to do to boost the odds of getting to the far end of this race. It's a lot of work, and if we don't get the quality right, we're going to come to the far end with a less than ideal situation. But perhaps the most interesting area of things we've had to play against in trying to develop Samba 4 has been the political games, particularly some of the more controversial decisions that we've taken in trying to get from a almost nothing code base to something that vaguely resembles Active Directory. Our decision to choose to incorporate the Heimdall Kerberos distribution has been considered quite controversial by many, but as has the decision to build an LDAP server from scratch. Many have said, you know, there's a perfectly good open LDAP project out there. Why are you building your own? And it scares people. It's sort of, well, I've got my own LDAP server. Does that mean Samba 4 is taking it over? You know, I've got my KDC. You know, how's this going to fit into my environment? What we had to choose in building Samba 4 to be able to have it built at all was we needed a platform to try and understand the problem. In incorporating Heimdall into our distribution, we've been able to spend our time working on the things that don't work, the problems that Microsoft has introduced into this space by just being so different to anything else that's out there, and not spending our time bugging an upstream maintainer, pretty please, can you put this patch into the Kerberos libraries, and figuring out how to then have them turn around into distributions and back into the code that we would need. So instead we took the approach with Heimdall of bringing it in board so that we use an internal set of code that handles all of our Kerberos needs. And in the LDAP server we decided, as Tridge had built LDB as a LDAP-like database, that we would actually build a real LDAP server on top of that database. And so we have one of those, it runs and performs a core part of Samba 4 and is integrated tightly into it so that it behaves in an authentication perspective just the same as any other protocol that comes into and hooks into Samba 4. The other area where we've had to be quite careful is just trying to make development releases and make people understand what we're releasing. We've been quite careful about the naming of what we're releasing when we say a technology preview. Samba has quite a reputation for its alpha releases. Samba 3.0 Alpha ran on many production sites. It shipped in production NAS appliances. Samba 4 is not in that league. We're missing whole features and we don't have that kind of scale and background yet. We need to get there. So we've chosen the name of technology preview as a way to try and express that this is just some of the bits of the technology here. It will eat your cat, but you know, you might want to have a look at it, rather than people expecting it to be the state that Samba 3 alphas and betas have been in the past. And we've also particularly just had this worry that when we first did our Samba 3 releases, Samba 4 releases, we've had people saying, well, should I wait for Samba 4 or should I actually look at Samba 3 as this domain controller for an upcoming installation? And this expectation management is something that we continue to do, and we hope that our users can try and understand what's production is available and what's worth playing with in a toy lab or with experienced sysadmins who want to take a particular dare. Finally, we've been doing a lot of research. New protocols keep popping up on us. One of the lovely things to appear in the recent Vista betas has been SMB2. Microsoft decided it would be a fun thing just to go and rewrite the whole SIFS protocol and not tell anybody. No, these details are not for such non-Microsoft minds. Within a few weeks of obtaining our first copy of SMB2, Tridge has started poking at it and prodding at it, and had encouraged out of it packets that he could understand. Worked with Ronnie Schalberger of the Ethereal team to build up a wiki describing the protocol and an Ethereal dissector. We have a client implementation that can do some basic tasks, and we have a very primitive server implementation. It's hoped that Samba 4's architecture will be fairly positive to adding two different file servers, but backed against the same body of code that translates from Windows semantics to POSIX semantics. We have so we continue to research this area. We're not expecting that SMB2 will be something that will be mandatory on people's networks in the very near future, but we can't afford to ignore things that Microsoft puts out there and hope that they'll go away. At some point, the backward compatibility stuff gets turned off. Some knowledge base article comes out saying that for performance, for security, for something or other, you shouldn't touch this old backward compatibility stuff, and then we're screwed. So we need to understand it. Another interesting area of research was Gunter Desner, who couldn't be here at this conference, was understanding how Microsoft has embedded error codes. Where in Kerberos you put an error string, it's intended so that the KDC can say, you know, password too long, or, you know, password expired would be a more reasonable one, or, you know, come back next week, or some other textual description. Microsoft decided it'd be a fun thing just to put a 32-bit error code in there. Now, it's important because we need to give that back to Windows clients because they're expecting it to be there. It will tell the Windows client more details about what was wrong in the way it would expect from the normal domain logon. But this isn't something that we'd seen in any specification before, and so this research has to continue. And finally, the bit of research that we've been working on is just how the pack actually works and putting that whole process together. Now, at this point, I'm going to try and do a live demo. This is, of course, always a very dangerous thing, but I'm just going to bring my laptop up here, and we're going to see how well we can go. The live demo is going to be of a Windows 2003 workstation joining a SAMBA4 domain. I'm hopefully going to be able to show you that it's using Kerberos and that the subsequent domain logon uses Kerberos and logs in successfully. SAMBA4 is indeed real and we can actually use it. Yeah, that's my password it's going to want. Okay. Okay, so here I have a Windows 2003 Enterprise Edition server, and it's locked it. Perhaps I should grab that. Thank you. Yes. And I'm just going to unlock the computer here. Okay, so it wants to join SAMBA4. Sorry? SAMBA4 decided after years of being nothing like this file system hierarchy standard, we'd actually put our configuration file in it sexy. Okay, so this is the SAMBA config I'm using. I've got a few testing things. This last thing here is SAMBA4 can push a... When you connect to it, it can connect to something else. Anyway, we've got it set up. Password server doesn't do anything anymore. That's the config I'm currently using. It's my development config from home. SAMBA4 is running in this window here. It's got some browsing things going on. Didn't think SAMBA4 did browsing. Oh well. It's got... Ah, okay. Oh well, we have a start. Okay, so... Password. It goes off in the background now. I've started a trace here, and a domain join process is in the order of a few hundred packets. Mostly it there's a bit of C, all that, and a few other things. The lovely cracknames call, which is under an encrypted pipe. This always causes fun. Basic process that we now understand through a lot of pain. Restart. Windows always requires a restart. Now, about, you see the packet count's up around 275 now. By the time we finish logging in, we'll be, I think, in the thousands. Windows logon, I've never really understood why it takes 1,000 packets to log on to a computer. Jeremy's suggestion was antitrust. Okay, so rebooting the
Okay, starting up. Okay, so we've already got to 300 on our packet count and we're not even started. Da-di-da-di-dum. I expect at some point the supply and computer settings will go and fetch group policy, but we don't have anything there and it eventually gives up. Okay, now we read the login. Okay, change the domain. Same before. Administrator. Password. That's my profile. In the background, we've got the. It will try and do a dynamic update. One of the interesting things that we'll need to do to Samba 4 is handle Kerberos authenticated dynamic DNS updates, because it's something that the Windows client will do on the logon. Okay, it's in. And we can also bring up, this is my test folder, full of all sorts of stuff. And this is where things really go mad. But one of the interesting things, I'll stop the packet capture and we'll look for... Yeah, once you... it's Kerberos, isn't it? Yeah, all of our session setups were with Kerberos. API. You can tell it also just because it's two leaks. End-to-end SSP would require three. But there's the Kerberpipe log. So that also, one of the other key reasons that Samba 4 and Kerberos is important is that this is a much lower load on everything. NTLM requires a connection. You connect to a member server talks to the PDC to find out if you've got the password right. Kerberos is cryptographic proof. That leg to the member server to KDC can be very expensive at times. There is a pack hidden in there, and we have correctly formed that pack, and clients can read it, and they do trust it. The pack was also used, our logon process. It is encrypted, just give me a moment to get at it. Ethereal can decrypt the pack, I just need to... Keytab file, I'll just copy it there. Just give me a moment. Prefix private secrets.keytab. Okay, that should do the job. So, okay. Let's see if we. Yep. Reload. Session setup request. Somewhere in here. So, ticket. Encrypted part. Ethereal's not picked it up. The pack's in here. There is a. If I had a little bit more time on my demo, I would happily show you the encrypted pack. Just check that I've got that file name right. The and Samba then used. So we had a connection from the Windows client to Samba, and Samba used the pack, despite it being the domain controller. Samba used the pack to determine who the user was, and to let them in. Now, at this point, I will keep poking here, but I'd like to have any questions. Deathly silence. One question. Okay, so what I was... And there's also a mic in the middle, which will get it on tape. The question was, how do I get the key tab? As it happens, Samba 4 uses a real file key tab for its maintenance of its Kerberos secrets, and I copied that file into where I was hoping Ethereal would have it. So we actually pre-maintain that key tab because it ended up being the easiest way to work with the Kerberos routines, because they're built for key tabs, not for the way Samba 3 tends to do things. And I found the code was simpler. We also, however, have some code in Samba 4 for doing perhaps what you are more thinking of. We have an Active Directory domain, and you want to get the key tab out for Ethereal to decrypt Kerberos traffic. Samba 4 has a mode where you can join it in the traditional way, and netsamdump key tab will export out a key tab file from that Active Directory domain containing all of the principles in that domain. You can then decrypt all the Kerberos encrypted traffic for that realm. And that's in the past, it's required a bit of outputting format, putting it, you know, manually putting things into a key tab, and I decided I was sick of that and decided to automate it. Other questions? You got a question, Lars? You're looking very hopeful there. Nope, too sheepish. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Oh, one question in the front here. Yes, yes, not particularly, but something we could probably add to the wiki. We have the raw tools. The work is a lot of putting it together and putting the documentation around it. Ethereal is perhaps more of a useful tool, but Samba 4 can provide some of the bits it needs. Samba 4 is also working with the work that Yom has done on Piddle. Samba 4 has extended the abilities of the Ethereal network dissector by using our IDL files, which describe how RPC packets are laid out. Ethereal's dissectors are being improved to use that knowledge in an automatically generated manner. And that's some of the work that Yom has been working with Ronnie Schalberg on. So it's some of those ways we have to figure these networks out too. And question up the back. So the question is, can I use Samba 4 to provide Kerberos to things other than Windows? So where you've got a different Kerberos server? And the answer is yes. It is a standard Kerberos server, and it is serving out requests in the standard way. You would simply need to join a machine to the domain in create a secret some way or other, add the service principal name, and therefore extract out the key tab. And once it doesn't really care what the client or server is, it will accept those requests in the industry standard manner as close as we can get to it without breaking Microsoft clients. It's a standard Heimdall KDC built in there, just buried. Does that answer your question? Other questions? Okay, I think that's finally it. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much.